washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Joyful confession.
Please remain seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Now in peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you. Hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen. Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of all power and might, you are the giver of all that is good. Help us love you with all our heart, strengthen us in true faith, provide us with all we need, and keep us safe in your care. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first lesson for this morning that we're going to take a look at comes from Ezekiel's chapters 2 and 3. Here we see Ezekiel is going to have a very tough task, a very rebellious people that he'll have to face, but God gives him his word for comfort and guidance. Ezekiel's chapter 2 and 3. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says,' and whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or be terrified by them, though they are a rebellious people. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious people. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, "Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll, then go and speak to the people of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, "Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you, and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said to me, "Son of man, go now to the people of Israel, and speak my words to them." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The second lesson comes from 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4. This will serve as the sermon text for today. From 2 Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." This is the word of the Lord. The verse of the day also reflects how important God's word is to us. Alleluia. Happy are they who hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bring forth fruit with patience. Alleluia. Now please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel for this morning comes from Mark chapter 6, and as we talk about persecution, we of course look at Jesus himself, who also faced persecution even in his hometown. From Mark chapter 6. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and if there are any children in the congregation who want to come forward for a children's sermon, you can meet me up here on the front step. Go ahead, take a seat. As far away from the pastor as possible. Do you want to be my volunteer? All right, do you want to stand right up there? Right up there in front of everybody. All right. I have here my handy-dandy St. Mark's grocery bag. I also got a few different tools here as well. You can see this is a life jacket. Good. Good. All right. I have here an operating instructions for the copy machine. What do you think this is?
Sunscreen.
Sunscreen, yeah, sunscreen, good. Yeah, work gloves. Nice, huh? All right. Holy Bible, that's an easy one. Okay. Okay, so now what I'm going to have you do is we're going to pretend that you are in a different situation, and we're going to try to give you the right tool for the job, okay? You ready? Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. So say she wants to go out and into the sun and maybe get some work done, but she doesn't want to get sunburned. What would you give her? Sunscreen. Go ahead and give her the sunscreen. Thank you. Okay, you don't have to put it on. Don't worry. It's not too sunny in here. Okay, so now that she's got her sunscreen on, she's all set and ready to go and work out in the yard and in the garden. But she wants to pull some weeds and dead branches and whatnot, but she doesn't want to hurt her hands. Did you give her the gloves? Good. All right, go ahead and give her the gloves. Good. Now she's got the gloves too. She does a lot of good hard work with the gloves. Oh man, she's tired. Whew. She's done a lot today. She wants to go relax now in the early afternoon with her family, maybe hit up the pool. Maybe not the pool, maybe a lake, right? We'll say a lake. She wants to go out into the lake, but she's kind of afraid of swimming. What would you maybe give her? There you go. All right, give her a life jacket, right? To save her. Good.
Save her from drowning.
Oh, wait. Oh, she realized. Oh, no. I have to hurry back home from the lake. I have a meeting tonight. And now I have to make all these copies. But there's so many buttons on the copy machine. So what can maybe she use to help her figure out what these buttons are? All right, operating instructions for the copier. Pretty easy. All right, good. Okay, so now, here's one for you. That night, before she goes to bed, she wants to learn more about God. What would she use? Oh, okay, the Holy Bible. Good. Now she's got the Holy Bible. So you can see you got the right equipment for the right job. When we talk today about what God has equipped us with, we talk about the Holy Bible. And in fact, the Holy Bible can help us in a lot of different situations similar to those spiritually. Right? It helps. The sunscreen helps protect us from the sun. The Bible can help protect us from harmful things like false teachings or from other things that try to attack our faith and sin. Good. Now, maybe we have sin in our lives and we want to get rid of them. Well, the gloves helped her in the garden to get rid of some things and protect her. The Bible can also help protect us and get rid of the sin in our lives. Good. Sometimes we want to do some good things, but all of a sudden we find ourselves in a difficult situation. And we need a lifeline, kind of like the life jacket. Well, the Bible has all of these passages that we can remember and remind ourselves of. Okay, maybe she wants, as she used the copy machine to make copies as an instruction booklet, the Bible gives us all of these instructions about how we can please God too. So you can see the Bible can be used for many different things. Now, I want to ask you this, and this is going to show you how equipped you are with God's word already, okay? What happens when she sins and she starts feeling guilty about that sin? What can you tell her?
You can tell her to...
Who do you tell her about?
Sin.
So she's sinning. Who can you tell her about if she feels guilty over that sin?
God.
And what has God done for us?
God has given us life.
It's given us life. Through whom? Through whom?
Jesus,
yeah, and what Jesus has done for us, right? So you guys are well equipped already. You get to tell her that you're fully forgiven in Christ. So let's praise God for thanking and thank Him for giving us His Word to equip us. Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us Your Word as a tool belt for anything that we need. Lord, mostly thank You for giving us Your Word to tell us about what Christ has done for us. Forgive us for our sins, Lord, and continue to guide us with Your instruction booklet on how we can please You. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can go back to your seats. I'll need those back. And we'll continue with our hymn of the day, Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken.
Jesus.
have forgiveness in Jesus, brothers and sisters. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the second lesson from 2 Timothy 3 and 4. But let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your word. Amen. I think I was 22 years old when it happened. I was hanging out with some friends at one of their houses. We were just kind of standing around in the kitchen talking. Somehow we got on the topic of religion and Christianity and church, and I said something that the Bible says, and then all of a sudden I had all of my friends form a semicircle around me, and they started getting mad at me. They started telling me how I should be ashamed about what I believe and how it's terrible. I was in shock. They were all sitting there with their shaking their heads and pointing their fingers at me. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. These were my friends. Part of me was even questioning my beliefs. Like, boy, is it really true what I believe then? Didn't know what to do. Didn't know what to say. I thought, how can I stand up to this? I felt all of this weight and this pressure all of a sudden with all of these people all around me yelling at me. Basically, how can I endure? Do you know the Greek word for endure has literally the idea of to remain up under, to withstand and remain up under something, like a weight or a pressure? When I think of that word, I think of that day, because that day came with a lot of heavy pressure. And when I picture persecution, I can picture in my mind the semicircle of friends with angry faces. When you picture persecution, what do you picture? Do you picture one or two or five or 10 people standing there yelling at you? Do you picture being arrested and thrown in prison for your beliefs? Thing is, though, these things don't happen very often to us, do they? For us, far more often, persecution is far more subtle. It might be a passive-aggressive comment from somebody. It might be a change in behavior, maybe from someone that you know around you. Maybe it's your friends trying to invite you or at least influencing you to do something that goes against your faith, but you know that if you don't do it, that you're going to get flack for it. Maybe it's sitting at a coffee shop and overhearing a couple of people say something and it's just wrong. They might even be Christians talking about religious things, and you feel in your heart like, oh boy, what if they find out, you know, that I'm a Christian or if I believe something different? Maybe for you it's your TV show or a movie or your video game attacking what God's trying to build in your mind and your heart. There's lots of different things that can bring pressure, right? Especially when it comes to what other people think and believe, and maybe sidestepping that pressure to join them a little bit. All of that pressure weighs down in all those different ways, and we just sidestep just a little bit, and then just a little bit more, and then a little bit more. And suddenly you look and at how far you've actually gone, and it's not a little bit at all. You've moved over to the world quite a bit. Then all of that sin and shame from doing that, when you notice it, weighs down on you too. You and I will always face pressure and persecution. We'll always have something aggressive or passive, harsh or subtle. From the outside, from the inside, we'll all have that weight of persecution hit us one way or the other. In fact, all who have faith in Christ Jesus will have to endure persecution, Paul says. So, how can we endure? How can we stand up under it and not sidestep it sinfully or buckle and maybe even fall away from the faith? How can we endure? Paul says we can endure because we're well equipped. Today we're going to talk about what we're equipped with. Next week, we're going to talk about a little bit longer on what you do with it. The first thing that we're equipped with that Paul says, previous examples. Paul says to Timothy, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them." For Timothy, he could look to Paul as an example of enduring through persecution. Timothy was from Lystra, which is one of the towns that Paul listed there. And it's one of the towns that Paul hit up on his first mission journey. And if you want to talk about enduring persecution, just go to Acts chapter 13 and 14 sometime and read through everything that Paul had to go through on that first mission journey. Timothy, being from Lystra, would have certainly have at least heard about it. In fact, he might have even seen Paul get stoned by a bunch of Jews in Lystra and left for dead outside the city. Paul faced persecution, and yet every time, from the time that first mission journey happened to this letter, which might be his last, the Lord rescued him. Every single time. And it's not just limited to Paul. Think back throughout Christian history, throughout all of Scripture, maybe even in your own lives. There are lots of examples of people enduring through persecution that we can remind ourselves of when that hits our shoulders. And it's not just that we can remind ourselves that they endured. It's we can remind ourselves of who they are to us. They're very special to us, those people. Evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, Paul says, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Who told you about Christ? Was it mom or dad? Was it another family member? Was it a spouse? Grandma, grandpa? Who told you about Christ? For Timothy, it was his mom and grandma. We can also look to our spiritual relatives, our spiritual fathers and mothers, those who teach us about the gospel. For Timothy, it was Paul. Taught him a lot about the gospel. Pastors, teachers, Sunday school teachers. Can you think of a special teacher that you can remind yourself of in the time of persecution? We can go even far back, too. We can go to the Reformation and all of those first Lutherans who had to endure and all the other reformers. We can go all the way back to the early church fathers and the apostles. They all faced persecution and they all lived godly lives in an ungodly world for you and me so that we might know about someone very special. We have plenty of examples that we can look to that we're equipped with for persecution. Now I want you to think about two big things. As you think about all of this and how equipped you are, this will really bring that out. Okay, the first thing I want you to think of. Why did they do it? All of those people before us that endured persecution, why did they do it? Why did they live godly lives in an ungodly world? Why did they feel like it was so important to deal with all of this? Because of what they learned. And because it was worth all of it. They learned about Christ and what he did. We can't talk about persecution without talking about the teacher. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of every man, woman, and child that's ever walked this earth, endured persecution too. We saw it in the gospel lesson. Even in his hometown with people that knew him best, Jesus was rejected and persecuted. Yet this godly person came down to this ungodly world for us. The Word became flesh, and he didn't just endure, he thrived. He stood up strong under that persecution. The weight of persecution, Jesus stood strong under it. And let me tell you, those who persecuted him and those who persecute you and me and all of those who were before us, the tables will be turned come judgment day. On that last day, they will not be able to stand up under the weight of his judgment for what they've done to us and to Jesus. What about the weight of temptation to take the easy way out and sidestep? Now, Jesus, even when he was hungry for 40 days in the desert and was tempted with the whole world, he wouldn't even have to suffer and die. It was the devil that walked away, that buckled under pressure, who was defeated. What about the weight of sin and shame? Jesus was perfect. He didn't have that weight. Until he took ours. Thankfully, Jesus didn't sidestep that at all, did he? He took it squarely on his shoulders and then died with it. Done. Finished. Gone. Forever. It's like you and I had a 2-ton truck on our shoulders and now we don't even have a feather. So why did those people before us endure persecution? Why do you know that you can endure? Because Jesus already endured for you. Jesus has already saved you. What is out there that could possibly harm you? What is out there that God hasn't saved you from already that could possibly threaten you? You have salvation. So now the second thing I want you to think about. How do you know all this? How has it been revealed to you? In what form has the unchanging God promised this salvation to you? How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You know it because you have the Word. The Word that's all centered in Christ and the salvation that he won. The Word that numerous other Christians endured persecution for so that they could pass it on down to you. You have God's holy written things, the Holy Scriptures. And they come in handy, let me tell you, in times of persecution. In times when you start to maybe question your beliefs and really wonder what is true. If you had a book that told you this is how it was, this is what happened, this is what was brought about, and this is what's to come, do you think maybe that book would be useful? In a world where there's so much confusion and so many false beliefs about a higher power in the spiritual realm, if you had a book that told you this is who God is, this is what he's done, this is what he says is right and wrong, do you think that book would come in handy? In a world where you have to face all this pain and anguish and fear and any other type of weight that weighs down on you, if you had a book that told you all about the peace that you have with God and showed you how much God loves you for all eternity, do you think maybe you'd be happy to have that book? That's why God has given you his holy written things. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Scriptures are like a tool belt equipping you. I have something I want to learn, or I want to pass my example and knowledge on to someone else. Teaching. I'm struggling with this sin and I've been tempted into it. Rebuking. I have this thing, I thought it was right, but it turns out it wasn't. Correcting. I want to live a good life for God out of thanks for everything that he did for me through Jesus. Training in righteousness. If there's some sort of spiritual good work out there that you want to do, you have God's holy written things. You are well equipped. Not only has God, through Jesus, taken away all of that weight of sin and shame, But he's given you his God-breathed word so that you can endure whatever other type of weight might hit your shoulders. So now I have one more encouragement for you. Remain faithful to the word. Because when you don't, it gets into all sorts of trouble. Paul says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. You have the word. Now use the word. It is God-breathed. It is not Brock-breathed. It is not John or Jane-breathed. It is not society-breathed. It is not TV-breathed. It is not media-breathed. It is not sin-breathed. It is not devil-breathed. God be praised, it is God-breathed. So use it. Use it to prepare yourself. When I was sitting there with that semicircle of friends yelling at me, I wish I had been more prepared in God's holy written things. Be prepared in season and out of season. You never know when you're going to have a moment surprise you like that. It could be the most convenient time to share God's word, or it could be the most inconvenient, surprising, scary, unnerving, pressure-filled moment you've ever faced. Be prepared for that with his word. And use it to correct, rebuke, and encourage. That means use the law and gospel, all focused on sharing the gospel with great patience, careful instruction. Because if you don't, things can get pretty hairy. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. If you try to sidestep, it's easy to sidestep right into error. So do what Paul says. Keep your head. Remain strong and endure. You know you can. I think I was 22 when it happened. I'm 34 now. I'm still here. By God's grace, I've endured. Obviously, you have too. Will we keep enduring? How can we not? We are well equipped. Not only has Jesus taken away our sin, but he's given us God-breathed, almighty, powerful word. We are well equipped. We will stand strong. Amen. Please stand. May you remain strong and endure through God's holy scriptures. Amen. We now confess our faith in those holy scriptures according to the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the altar.
When peace like a river When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well.
To that. We join together responsively in the prayer of the church and then join together in the Lord's Prayer after that. We pray. O Lord our God, you are wise and powerful, good and gracious. Your mercies are new every morning. Each day you open your hand and provide for the needs of your children on earth.
We praise you for every grace and blessing.
Strengthen your church in all the world. Let your comforting message of salvation in Christ Jesus be proclaimed to troubled souls everywhere.
Use our mysteries and offerings to extend your healing in the world.
We bring you our requests for the various structures of our society. Bless our national, state, and local governments.
Grant us civil servants who
Grant prosperity to our businesses and industries. Give employers a sense of fairness toward their workers and employees a feeling of joy and pride in their workmanship.
Help us find satisfaction in all work well done.
Invigorate the schools of our land. Give success to every effort that helps students read, think, and communicate in ways that will promote an informed and responsible citizenry. Arouse curious minds to discover the wonders of your created order.
Give us teachers and students to pursue excellence.
Strengthen the families of our country. Give fathers and mothers a renewed commitment to be good parents. Give children and young people the wisdom to regard their parents as your representatives.
Lead us to love one another as you have loved us.
God of all mercy, please hold the glory of your resurrected son before the eyes of Betty Oskin, Judy Washburn, and her sister-in-law Chris Hardwick, and all who are faced with the weight of health challenges. In their difficulties, let your power and presence give them strength. As you're with us in difficult times, you also give us joyous times as well. We praise you for the birth of Bill and Patty Cummins' grandson, Ezra, this week. Keep him in your tender care and bless his life with your grace. Continue also to show your grace to all who have been blessed with another birthday or wedding anniversary. Allow them to rejoice all the more in your love and protection in Jesus. Lord, we also ask for your blessings on Tree of Life Bible Camp this week. Enrich the experience for all involved so that all can grow closer to each other and to you. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Gracious Father, we pray boldly as Jesus taught, with the confidence that you will hear and with the faith that you will respond for our welfare.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Continue with our next hymn. Please note the soloist will sing verse 1.
Thank you.
day is almost gone. At the river's end, by my feet, hold my hand.
At this time, I'd like to ask all of those who are being installed as officers of St. Mark's to come forward. You can line up right around, right along the pad there. Dear friends in Christ, in holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ liberated you from sin and death and made you members of his body, the church. Through word and sacrament, you have been nurtured in faith. You have now been selected for positions of service to our Lord on behalf of this congregation. The Lord has entrusted you with an office which you are to carry out as his servants and according to his word. St. Paul wrote concerning service in the church, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. The Lord seeks faithfulness from all who serve. As Scripture says, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. The Lord does not seek from us what he has not given to us, but when he does give a gift, his will is that we use it faithfully to his glory and for the benefit of his people. You are also as servants of Jesus Christ and workers in this congregation to set your own families and the whole church the example of Christian lives. Make the word of God your foundation and guide. Search it daily for comfort and instruction. So that the congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve, I ask you in the presence of God and this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully carry out the office entrusted to you according to the ability which God gives you? If so, answer, I will, and I ask God to help me.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
I now install you as officers of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Ryan Miller, Adult Discipleship. Chuck Klinker, Stewardship. Greg Webb, Child Discipleship. Mike Rausch, Chairman of the Congregation. Bill Cummins, Treasurer. Dan Cummins, Board of Elders. Jim Oswald, Outreach. I knew that one, don't worry. And Greg Meyer, Worship. A couple of them switched, that's why some hesitation for me. For me, anyway. May God grant you his Holy Spirit and give you wisdom and strength to carry out your duties to his glory and for the good of his people. Members of St. Mark's, I urge you to regard these fellow believers as servants of Jesus Christ and God's gifts to his church. Pray for them, support them in their service, and help them so that through the gospel ministry of this congregation, more and more people will be reached for Christ and his kingdom. We pray. Merciful and gracious God, our lives are open before you. And you hear our promises. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit into the hearts of your servants, that they may carry out their duties with diligence, boldness, and wisdom. Give them a spirit of devotion and prayer, and in every time of need, may they present their requests to you. Help them be examples of what is good, that by their lives they may build up your congregation and give the enemies of the church no cause for complaint. Make them a blessing to your believers. Help them to work with their pastors and with one another, and grant that by their service the unity of this congregation may be strengthened. Your name be hallowed, your kingdom be enlarged and your will be done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Go then and give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The Almighty and merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you. Go in peace. You may return to your seats. As they return to their seats, I want to give a big thanks to those who have served the congregation in these positions in the past. May God reward you graciously for all of the work that you have done to His glory. Now I ask the congregation to stand for the final prayer and blessing. We pray. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for the closing hymn, Day by Day. You'll find that as number 765 in the blue songbooks. Pleasure worshiping with you once again. A few announcements for you. Please stick around for Bible study and Sunday school. Another reminder that we have a Thiesfeldt gift card shower going on. It's going to be, I believe, on the back side of that middle wall. There's going to be a little cookie jar. When Heather and I came last week, a year ago now, if you didn't know that, it's been a year. God be praised. It really helped us out right at the beginning. So if you're able to put that on your mind and heart to give to that, it's right on the other side of that wall. Not this week, but next week, so a week from tomorrow, VBS begins. So get ready for VBS if you're a volunteer, and if you have offered to donate something, we're still accepting those. You can talk to Brett Bengel, or there's a box in the lobby there for you to drop your donations off. We're going to have a quarterly fellowship potluck lunches. We're going to start those up coming up every quarter. It'll be really neat to kind of hang out and get to know each other, have some good Lutheran potluck. Boy, I think every time I gain 15 pounds when I go to a Lutheran potluck, with no regret. The first one that we're going to be having is coming up July 29th, so 3 weeks from today. So get your recipes ready. July 29th, after second service, we're going to have a lunch together. And now we'll watch the Wells Connection together.